When I was younger, and obviously now I'm not as young, there was a song by Delirious. And some of you may know this song, and it said, "I want to go deeper, but I don't know how to swim." Anyone know it? "I want to be meeker, but have you seen this old earth?" I'll stop singing. "I want to fly high." No, I've got to carry on with it. "I want to fly higher, but these arms won't take me there. I want to be, I want to be. Maybe I could run, maybe I could fly to you," talking to God. Do you feel the same? This is to other people. When all you see is blaming me. And then there's this chorus, and it says, "And the wonder of it all is that I'm living just to fall more in love with you." And this song went into the pop charts, not just the Christian charts. And I would sing it a lot when I was younger, teenage Christian, singing "Want to Go Deeper." I now appreciate that song even more. Now I'm a bit older, and I realize that actually God is calling each of us to go deeper with him. And as we get older, we can get busier, or we can get more cynical. We can stop believing that things can be different, or things can change. In a survey done last January about New Year's resolutions, only 30% of people that were asked made them. And the highest number of people that had made them, as an age demographic that had made them, were young adults. Why is that? Well, maybe because when we're younger, we believe that things can change and we can set out on a course and things will be different this year. But as we get older, maybe we just stop thinking things can be different. We're going to look at a passage, our verse for the year. It's a passage that David, the shepherd boy who became a king, wrote when he was older. We know that he wrote it when he was older because he says so in verse 25. He says in verse 25, "I was young, but now I am old." And he's writing to a group of people some wisdom, some tips on how to have a blessed life. Not the best life, but a blessed life. Maybe you have made New Year's resolutions. Maybe you are like the people that were surveyed last year, and you've made them about health, exercise, or diet. Or if you had remembered to make one, you would have made them about some of these top five things. All the desires, all the goals, all the dreams that we have for this next year either need to fall into place when we put God first, or fall by the wayside because we put God first. So if the reasons that you've chosen these goals or desires, or you have this desire, is just for you, and it hasn't been given to you by God, then maybe God is going to cause it to fall by the wayside rather than for it to be fulfilled this year. If you're going to have a diet, or be healthier, or exercise, do it as an act of worship. If you're trying to be debt-free this year, or spend more wisely this year, do it as an act of delighting in God and stewarding your finances in a better way. If you're going to try and sort out relationships, be a better friend, or a better brother, or son, or have better friendships, as in investing in relationships, do it because God is calling you to do it and is energizing you and empowering you by his Holy Spirit to do that, and the hobbies and work and things. Do these things as an act of worship. David is saying in the verse that we'll look at, to delight in God first, and all these things will fall into place or fall by the wayside. Jesus said something similar in Matthew chapter 6 when he was talking to a crowd of people on a mountainside, and he says, don't worry about things. Who by worrying can add a single hour to the day? Seek first God, and everything else will fall into place or fall by the wayside. Our verse for the year is in yellow. Take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. In verse 1 and 2, David is giving some wisdom to the people, saying, don't bother getting focused or caught up in worrying about other people. In verse 7, 8, and 9, David is saying to the people reading this psalm, the people that he's giving this wisdom to, don't worry about other people. God will sort them out. I wonder how many of us worry about things. Something will come through and it'll just consume us. I had that yesterday. And it was just like a gut punch. And it just can't, it just doesn't go away, does it? Worrying about something, how many of us have worried about something and it's actually changed the situation? God is saying through David, don't fret, don't stress, don't worry about what other people are doing. Don't stress, don't fret, don't worry about what's going on. And there's just leave them with God. God will sort them out. And in the middle of these verses, it's saying trust in the Lord and cultivate faithfulness in your life. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture, verse 3. In verse 5, it says, commit your way to the Lord. The literal word used for commit is roll your way onto God. Hand over your way onto God. And what will he do? He will bring you into blessing. And then in the middle of verse 3 and 5, we've got this verse, our verse for the year. If you want to follow in the YouVersion Bible app, the QR code will take us through some slides. It's also got some information about King David, who was a man who's described in the Bible as having a heart like God's. He had chosen to seek after the heart of God and to align his heart with God's heart, to become more and more like God's. The words used in the Hebrew in this verse 4, take delight, is to have it's a Hebrew word, anog, and it means to be soft and pliable, as well as joy and pleasure and things. It's soft and pliable, literally meaning soft and pliable. Make our hearts soft and pliable before God. That's what David had done. And in his older years, he's saying to the people that he's writing this psalm for or to, if you want to have a blessed life, align your heart with God. Soften it before him. Delight in him. And all things will fall into place or fall by the wayside. He will give you the desires of your heart. What does delighting mean? Yes, I said the joke about what's the opposite of delight? The dark. Cree is still funny. Thank you, Cree. But we use a word, but we don't necessarily think about what it means. Delighting is to take intense and intentional pleasure in something. Just before Christmas, the Prayer on the Streets team were carol singing with a few added extras, a Welsh baritone, and for example. And I went along with my son, and as a little treat, we went for hot chocolate about halfway through. And in Crumbs, they do a really mean hot chocolate with squirty cream on the top. Now, this glass, hot chocolate in Crumbs is always a tall glass. And it was like that, and then squirty cream on top. Theo was sat down with it in front of him. And I was sat opposite without cream, my intentional choice. And I sat there, and his face was like, and first thing, on the cream. Second thing. Third thing, some cream had fallen down. He was delighting. He was taking intense pleasure in that creamy hot chocolate. So I took a photo because I knew I was speaking on delighting in the Lord. And I realized I was taking the photo of the wrong thing, because it should have been a selfie. Because, yeah, Theo was taking delight in the hot chocolate, but I was sat opposite my son, and I was just going, he's wonderful. And that's the kind of delight that God has for us. When we're enjoying doing something, he's just, as a father, delighting in us, taking intense pleasure and joy in us, rejoicing over us. And David is encouraging us to take that intense joy, pleasure, and happiness in God, because that's what he does for us. David isn't pointing his readers to the way that they can get the things that they want. He will give you the desires of your heart if you take delight in him. It isn't that David is writing about. He's saying, go to the source of lasting joy, the source of lasting hope and deep peace and all the things we could ever need, and all things will fall into place or fall by the wayside. God is calling us to do the same, to expect all our happiness from him and seek it in him, to make him, as the Passion paraphrase puts it, to make God the utmost delight and pleasure of our lives, and that he will provide for you what we desire the most. And as we make God the utmost delight and desire of our lives, he is the one that we desire the most, or becomes the one that we desire the most. We know from David that he knew God. He knew things about God that enabled him to say these things, because he had lived a life of delighting in God, aligning his heart with God's. We know from other passages of Scripture that David knew God. Do we know him? What's the picture of? How much of an iceberg can we see above the surface? 10%. Did you say, well done, well done. 10%, that means 90% is below the surface. David, when he was facing Goliath, knew things about God in his past that he drew to mind in his present, so that he had a bigger understanding of God, not just a 10% understanding, but 100% understanding, well, as close to 100% as we can as humans, understanding of God's, so that he had courage to face the giant before him. David was someone that didn't just know God in the moment, but drew to mind what God had shown him of himself in the past, and God had taught him of himself in the past, and that gave him more fodder to delight in God. Do we just delight in God for the 10% that we can think of in that moment? Or do we intentionally be still before him, verse 7, and draw to mind the things that God has shown us of himself in the past through his word or through his world or through different people or by the Holy Spirit in different ways, that we are actually delighting in God, not just in the 10%, but for a larger amount. The amount that we will delight in him is the amount that we know him and experience him. And God's statement from the beginning of the world is get to know me. From him walking in the garden and calling out Adam and Eve, where are you? He wants community together with us. He wants relationship with us. So do we know him? The American theologian James Boyce said that the reason many apparent Christians do not delight in God is that they do not know him very well. And the reason they do not know him very well is that they do not spend time with him. We're growing deeper with God this year and the years to come, because we're seeking to be fully devoted disciples of Jesus. Fully devoted, not 10% devoted, but fully devoted. Will you spend more time with him this year? You might be thinking, well, I can't spend more time, I'm too busy. Know this truth. God always desires and puts connectivity before productivity. Before you do anything, connect with him. Before you go into your day, have intimacy with him. You might think, oh, I can't, I'm too busy. How many minutes are there in a day? 1,440. What if you spent 1% of those minutes with Jesus? Just under 15 minutes of your day with Jesus. What if you already do that in your quiet times or your noisy times with Jesus? And you already have that intentional time with Jesus, getting to know him and worshiping him and thanking him and growing deeper in love with him. Wonder of it all is I manage just to fall more and more in love with you, Lord. As he reveals more of himself, we fall more in love with him. What if you increased that time with God by 1% this year? 15 more minutes. And what happens when we delight in God is our hearts align with him. Our hearts align with God's. And yes, there are things that we may desire. There may be burdens on our hearts. And in that closeness with God's, we're able to know that if it's on our heart, it's already on his and has been for a while. And he knows you and knows what is best for you. And it might be really, really, really hard because you're going through that time where you might have a gut punch, and it's like, oh, it's still not happening. But as we align our hearts with his, softening our hearts, intentionally making them pliable before God, saying, God, it's hard at the moment. You know that I've got a desire for this, and I know that you know that, but I choose to trust you. I choose to commit my way to you. Verse 3, trust God. Verse 5, commit your way to him. I'm humbling myself before you. The song, I Want to Go Deeper, had that question, well, I don't know how. I want to just go through some things that may be helpful for you. Take time with God. I've already said about the minutes. Take time with him in the Word of God. What day are we on the reading plan for those that are going through a reading plan this year? Day 5. This is my printed out version, and I just tick it off. Take time with God in the Bible, in the Word, but don't just tick things off. Don't just go through and, oh, I've listened to that, tick. I've read that, tick. Actually engage with God in the Word. Say, God, as I listen or read to Genesis chapter 9 and 10 today, help me to hear from you because I want to delight in you and not just reading a book. Take time with God in the Word and in the world. My lovely wife loves going for walks with Jesus. And I love going for runs, but sometimes running, you're going too fast. Well, maybe not too fast for me now, but you're rushing past things and you don't notice as many things. Going for a walk in the world could be a wonderful way to take time with God this year. Make time this week and in the weeks ahead to just go for a walk with Jesus in creation, delighting in him there. Have deep conversation with God. Over the next few weeks, there will be different resources coming out to help us engage with God in the word and in the world, in conversation, in contemplation, and so on. This is one way that you can deepen your conversation with God. It's from a contemplative tradition of Christianity, and it's a way of having a conversation with Jesus. At the end of a day, say, Jesus, how have I taken delight in you today? And you wait and listen to him. This isn't just a self-reflection. This is a reflecting through your day with Jesus. How did I receive your delight over me? And the last question, what have I done about these things? It might be that when you get to question two, you realize, God, you've tried to show me your love and grace today, but I haven't actually received it. I've been too busy going through stuff. So what am I going to do about it tomorrow so that I actually receive your love and grace? I'm going to slow down a bit. I'm going to do what verse 7 of Psalm 37 says, to be still with you. And in moments of my day, to just be still and sit with you, Jesus. The other questions are there to help you, to help us go through a more contemplative conversation with Jesus. In community, we can take time with God. As disciples of Jesus, we're not going to grow just by ourselves. We need to be in community with him, with other people. And through charisma. Charisma is the Greek word for gifts from God. Gifts of grace, gifts from his Holy Spirit. How can we delight in God through the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you want to take some of those 15 extra minutes to pray in tongues for a little while with God. And spirit to spirit, just talking with God in prayer. Delighting in him, worshiping him through praying in a spiritual language. It might be that you're saying, God, I'm going to take the 15 minutes. I'm going to have 5 minutes worshiping you, 5 minutes listening to you, and 5 minutes praying about what you've told me. And as I listen to you, God, I'm going to do it intentionally and expect that you'll speak to me. And maybe speak prophetically into a situation and that you want me to pray for, and you're going to release the gift of intercession in me to pray for that thing. Splitting things up into three sections is something that we have encouraged people to do if you have joined the Households of Prayer WhatsApp community, which I shared about just before Christmas. We've got people who are committing to praying for extra time on the day of the month that associates or is linked to their birth. So I was born on the 7th of February, and therefore the 7th of each month, I'm going to take extra time to pray with Jesus and pray for breakthrough, pray for revival, pray for renewal, and take time, maybe not just 15 minutes, but half an hour or an hour, and split it into three, worshiping him, listening to him, and then praying into what he said. Do sign up for that. I'll leave it up for a few more moments. Taking time with God, living and becoming like Jesus. Softening our hearts and saying, God, make me like you. And God's response we can find in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, where he says, I'll give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony and stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. The observant amongst you will notice that I skipped over receiving and remembering Jesus as a way of delighting in him. In a few moments, we're going to pray, and the band are going to come and lead us in some time of worship. And during that time of worship, you can come and receive communion, bread and wine, bread and grape juice or squash, symbols of Jesus' body broken and his blood shed for you. Now, when we have a little thimble like this, it reminds us one thing. It's a symbol. It's another thing, that there's enough to go around. One of the delights of having communion at home is you can take a whole glass and say, God, you have given everything you are for me. When you died on the cross, you gave everything you are for me. And in a moment of connecting with you as I remember you, Jesus, I want to drink deeply of you. And in that act of remembrance, we're worshiping Jesus, and you're able to just not take a sip, but actually drink deeply of Jesus. Maybe take some time having communion at home or in your workplace during a lunch break. Whenever I fly on a kind of a mission or ministry trip, I have communion in the airport just by myself, committing the time with God, drinking deeply of him with some juice. I'm going to pray. And it might be that one of these things listed up there is something that God is saying, yeah, I want to grow that in you. I want you to grow delighting in me in that way. And during these worship songs that we're going to sing, delighting in God, if you love Jesus and want to love him more, if you want to commit this year to him, come and take bread and juice as an act of obedience, remembering him, but also as an act of faith to say, I'm going to meet with you, Jesus, as I take communion. There is a plate and cups at the back on the organ, on the piano there at the front here, at the back by that door, and also at the front. And if you cannot, for whatever reason, go to a table, someone will come round and serve you. Let's just pray together. Jesus, we love you and want to love you more. And we thank you that you have given everything that you are so that we can enjoy the blessings of heaven, that we can be forgiven and given a new beginning. For those who have started this year with worries or woes, give them your peace, Lord, as they choose to delight in you. For those who have come into this year with so many hopes and desires and goals, and they've made them, Lord, and in this time, in this service, you've just been challenging people on them. Help them to just put you first and allow them to just fall into place behind you or fall by the wayside. Holy Spirit, in a wonderful but mysterious way, you meet with people when we take communion. Meet with us. Meet with people engaging online, if either they're just sat praying or whether they're receiving communion as well. Meet with them, Lord, for your glory and our delight. Amen.